feel so good to have sung that. And I am grateful for the air I breathe. What's been going on with me the last few weeks is some problems with my asthma. And I know I'm not supposed to say my asthma. The asthma that has visited upon me for the last few weeks. So I am grateful for the air I breathe. I'm grateful for the life in me. And I missed our Thanksgiving Sunday, but I know it went so beautifully. I saw pictures of the car parade where everyone got to see our beautiful new signage. And I just want to thank you, everyone who showed up, and thank you to Sue Riley. I've already thanked her, I promise, profusely for stepping in so beautifully, literally about the last minute in the last couple of days. So, this is Advent, and we just had Thanksgiving Day a few days ago, and so I'm kind of combining Thanksgiving and Advent, and it works beautifully, because the mark of a spiritual life is an attitude of gratitude, of being able to see the good in things. When I say that out loud, I think, wow, I complain a lot. That's the first thing that comes up in my mind. And so remembering to be grateful is one of the most important things we can do. Truly, as Rumi says, it allows the sun of love to shine through you upon everyone else. And you cannot help, when you have gratitude within you, to shine that upon others. And they will receive the warmth of your sun, of your love sun. So what I want to talk about is gratitude for past, present, and future. So gratitude for wonderful things that happened in the past, we all probably have. But there's also another kind of gratitude. The gratitude that we come to at a certain point in life with spiritual maturity and a dedication to a path of gratitude, where we realize that where we are standing now was the place that we were brought to by every single thing that happened up until this moment. The things we liked, the things we didn't like, the things that were beautiful, the things that were boring, and the things that were downright painful or terrifying or both. Every loss has brought you here, and your reaction to that loss. Every gain has brought you here, and your reaction to that gain. So how can we not be grateful for everything that has happened in the past? And I think later I'm going to actually do a sermon on Joseph in the book of Genesis. But short version is, terrible, terrible things happened to him. His brothers were jealous of him, so they sold him into slavery. And he went through some really, really terrible times. And in the end, when he got back together with his brothers and they said, "We know that you hate us," he said, and this is the actual quote from the Bible, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done." So no matter what anyone has done to you, no matter what sort of victimhood you have heretofore proclaimed in your life, I'm here to say that it can be good for you. You can find good in it. Even if it itself was horrible, you will find that you are stronger, you are smarter, you are much more well-equipped to deal with difficult things in life, having gotten through whatever it is that you've gotten through. And so can you, for a moment, look back at something in your life that really wasn't fun at the time and say, "I'm grateful for the blessings that came from that"? Doesn't mean I'm grateful. I'm not grateful that my friend died. I would much prefer to have him here with me right now. But I'm grateful for the blessings that have come since then. My closeness to his family, which may or may not have happened if he were still standing here with me now. It's just one of the things, one of the many, many things. So gratitude for the past, and then gratitude for the present. And I have been asking y'all for the last few weeks to send me your messages of gratitude. And you did, several of you did, and I want to share those because gratitude in the present means looking around at exactly what is going on. Y'all, pandemic, election, world upset, you name it, greed, consumerism, looking around at all of the things that we are bombarded with, all of the things that seem to be present, and finding what to be grateful for in and among all of that. So I want to start by reading a poem that beautiful Linda Whitson Perry sent to me. Thanksgiving 2020. Looking back over the year, we've all had our share of tears, have said goodbye to loved ones and friends. We grieve, although our love never ends. We've reevaluated our lives, trying to keep our faith alive. We've learned video technology of Zoom and invite people into our rooms. I love that. We've let our hair grow long, forgetting to sing our heart song. We have survived the toilet paper shortage and now have extra rolls in storage. We've been given a new task to wear face coverings or a mask. And even though we fuss, we understand social distancing is a must. Homes are our sanctuary to keep us out of the obituary. While we are not able to gather together, we are in fact all in this together. We pray for a vaccine to eliminate COVID-19. In this pandemic, it has been noted, record numbers of people voted. There's a new president-elect. Riots and celebrations fill the streets. And even so, we don't have to look very far to find much to be thankful for. A new day is dawning. Night will turn into morning. The light of God is burning bright. Keep walking in the light. Thank you, Linda, for sharing that. That's kind of a year in retrospect and gratitude that came out of each of those things that weren't so pretty, right? Chris Hurston says she's grateful for my church family, Melinda. The communication during the pandemic through email, through phone, through text. Friends that are like family, and for the children in her life. Perry Pfeiffer says she is grateful for her cool family, her Church of One Love family. Rev Mel, that's me again. I'm so grateful to be here. It's mutual. Mom, Dad, and Tim. Her dog, Rusty. Loving friends. Oneness. Retirement. Her brother, Yeshua. Her life experience, even though she doesn't always realize it at the time. Divine source for all creation on this earth. Beautiful, thank you, Perry. And this is from Darla McTeebi. I am thankful for the music ministry Reverend Melinda created for Church of One Love. During the pandemic, there were days I didn't want to get out of bed. On those days, I would sing songs like, Thank You for This Day, Spirit, or I Give My Thanks to God. The songs motivated me to get up and start the day, and wouldn't you know it, they turned out to be pretty good days. Thank you for our music team for sharing these songs with us. Pam Porter says, My blessings are countless. I would like to share a few of them. I'm thankful for my family, my friends, and my fellow man. I'm thankful for my church family, and my minister. I'm grateful for Kent, Kay, Maddie, and Perry. I'm thankful for the divine spirit within me. I am thankful for my continued awakening and my spiritual growth. I am also thankful for my country, community, and the world. I am also thankful for my fur babies, precious Bella and adorable Lacey. And I'm always thankful for them when I I'm at Pam's house because Precious Bella shares the love in a very beautiful way. Jane Hughes writes in and says, I'm grateful for my church family, our beautiful home, kitties, work, and my spouse. That would be Nan. Susan Sims says, always so thankful to have found Church of One Love and the loving friends. Thankful for my health so I can be there for family and friends, and I am thankful I have family and friends. Reverend Melinda, your loving self and leadership for our church. I am truly blessed and thankful for my fur babies, Bella and Frankie. I'm thankful for unconditional love. And lastly, from Madeline Morris, she is grateful for a sense of togetherness, the absolutely unconditional love and support of friends. She's grateful for online Tuesday game nights. Tell me what that is, Nan, because I might want to join in on that. And creative flow when everything else is in stasis. You've had some time at home to not do the things we usually do. Perhaps we can be more creative. These are all ways to be thankful in the present. And gratitude in the present leads us, when the present becomes the past, to gratitude for the past as well. See how this works? The other thing I'd like to say about gratitude in the present is it's always about focusing on what is, not what we wish. Focusing on what is. What do you have, not what you don't have. Look in your pantry and see what is there and say, what can I make from this? See what's there and see, what can I make from this? That's a true attitude of gratitude. MacGyver it. Put it together out of what you have. I call it making lemonade. Life shows up, you make, if it shows up all lemons, then you make some lemonade. And gratitude for the future. Because a lot of times we think we are wishing, we're in the present, and we're not actually in the present. We're not looking at what we do have. We're either looking at what we don't have, or we're looking at what we wish we have, what we think we're going to have in the future. Which, a lot of times, we are going to have something different in the future than we have in the present. Well, pretty much always we will. But will it always be according to our order? No, I don't think so. And every moment that we are focused on the future, we are not in the present. We are not receiving the gifts of the present. We're not being grateful for the gifts of the present. And yet, it's okay to look ahead at what we want, not with an expectation of this is what I gotta have in order to be happy, but with a, this is the true desire of my heart. And I look to it with anticipation, and I know that if that is not what I receive, I will still receive the gift. Tell you what I mean by that. You might not get the actual thing that you asked for. Maybe you asked for the vacation in Mexico. Maybe you don't get the vacation to Mexico, but did you really want the vacation in Mexico, or did you want the rest and the joy and the feeling of getting away? Because you can have the rest and the joy and the feeling of getting away without going to Mexico. There are many ways you can have that. See what I'm saying? So focus on what it is that you truly want. What's the true desire of your heart? Rather than getting lost and bogged down in specifics, which pretty much no matter how well you plan, the specifics are never going to come down exactly the way you want them to. And if they do, you'll spend all your time so in shock that you won't know what to do anyway. Or I would. So let go of the specifics and look at the prayer behind the prayer. I talk about this a lot, the prayer behind the prayer. What is it that you want? Is it that you want to be with family or a special someone in a place that relaxes you and makes you feel joyful? Then concentrate your attention on that. And Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. He's actually saying, if you already believe it, then it's definitely coming. Now, the way this works is through that attitude of gratitude we've been talking about, because if I have a mindset that says I want to be restful and joyful, that's my ultimate goal, and I'm open to how that happens, and I'm grateful for the rest and the joy that I know is coming to me, then I'm going to get rest and joy. If I say, I really would like rest and joy, it's probably not going to happen, then maybe I won't get rest and joy. Believing, because this is not believing in some God way out there that's going to go, oh, you prayed real pretty, I'm going to give you a prize. This is about the Spirit, the divine Spirit within you, that will make your way, that will fulfill the desires of your heart, the true desires, your soul desire, the prayer beyond the prayer. And so you can say thank you ahead of time and know that it is happening, because at the moment that you have that open heart of gratitude, you have opened to the Spirit within, and that Spirit is working within you. It is. That's the way the world works. I promise. In Matthew, for everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. So, gratitude for the future. Gratitude in advance. And here's where the Advent part comes in. Advent means coming into being. And it was originally used in the church as the Christ is coming into being, as the Christ is born in this baby child. But also Advent with a small a means coming into use. Who? The Advent of brushing your teeth, okay? Coming into use, right? So what if you were to use Christmas rather than just hope for it and wait for it and know that something good is coming? What if you were to say, how can I use this? How can the Advent of this season be of use to me in every moment from now through Christmas and beyond? Because here's the thing, you get to decide. We're right now, we're just at the Advent, we're into the coming into use and the coming into being. And so you get to decide what will be your beginning. What is your beginning? Today, the first Sunday in Advent, what are you going to do today that brings that Spirit into your life? I can't tell you what that is. Find, ask, seek, knock. Right? Not people who sit around and go, well, whatever. Ask. The desire of my soul is to have a joyful Christmas season. Now, if I decide, by golly, I'm going to be with all the people I love this Christmas, and for some reason, like, I don't know, a pandemic maybe, I can't be with those people, then I have already decided that I'm not going to have a good Christmas, and I refuse to do that. I refuse to do that. So make a plan in this Advent season, this coming of Christmas. How are you going to do it so that your heart's desire to be joyful, to have a season of joy, can come true? Through you, through the Son of Love shining in you, because that's how it's going to happen. It's not going to happen any other way. And you know what? It never did. So just a small example from my life. When I married Bob, I became a grandmother. And even though my own biological daughter has not given birth to anything, but she does have a great big dog, my granddog. By marriage, I have 7 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. Yes, I do. And you can imagine Christmas. on Christmas Day at my house. I also have my daughter and her beloved and another daughter that I just sort of picked up along the way that spent Christmas with us every year for the last 15 or 16 years or so. And I have a certain way that Christmas goes, a certain way that we do all these things. And you know what? I can't do it that way. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not willing to risk doing it that way. So I'm doing something different. I'm doing something different. I'm buying presents for everyone. Now, honestly, once they became teenagers, I was just like, okay, gift card. I have no idea what to get for you. And I needed to do that too because I didn't have all that time to shop and I had to be cleaning house because there were going to be a million people at my house. But you know what? This year, it doesn't matter how my house looks because nobody's coming over. So I get to sit down, while I was sick last week, I got to sit down with catalogs and get an actual present for everybody. And I've decided I'm going to wrap each one and then we're going to deliver them to porches a couple of days before Christmas. And on Christmas Day, we're going to have a big FaceTime or Zoom call and I'm going to get to watch the grandkids open their presents. Same as it's been before? No, but guess what? I don't have to cook for 15 people either. There's always something good. There's always something good. We get to decide what is being birthed in you this year, and how are you going to use your own attitude, the sun that shines through you, your spirit, your soul, the true you, your higher self, how are you going to use that to make a joyful season for yourself and everyone around you? I can't wait to see. I love you. Thank you. So, just going to take a few of those ideas into meditation for a moment. Gratitude. Take a deep breath. Just to center yourself in the space where you are. Just to get in touch with yourself. Get out of your head and into your body. Relax your eyes. You don't have to close them if you don't want to, but feel them soften and relax. Relax your jaw and your mouth. Just let this thought into your mind. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Or simply, I'm grateful. See what comes through. Is there something from your past you've been holding on to that you have labeled as bad and stuck to that label? Are you willing to just lift the edge of that label and say, there's something in that, around that, or from that, that I can feel truly grateful for? Maybe it helped me know myself a little better. Maybe it helped me know how deeply I can love. It's just that, you know what, that happened and I'm still. And after another deep breath, ask yourself the question, what do I want for Christmas? Not the thing, but what it is you think that the beginning of Advent, the beginning of what's coming, the beginning of what we will use. And so we breathe in a yes, we will use. We will use the peace, joy, love, hope of the season. So grateful.